There is in Switzerland, nestled in the craggy Alps region, a little village by the name of Zermatt. And they say if it were possible to look down on this settlement from the view that you would have from an airplane, it would appear that this small village was caught in a colossal trap of rock and ice. The only approach to this small village is by a path which follows the banks of a river that flows through that town. Just a few miles from this beautiful little village stands one of the most impressive mountain peaks in all the Alps. Rising almost 15,000 feet into the air, its almost perpendicular sides coated with ice and rocks, the Matterhorn has defied mountain climbers for hundreds of years. It was only after 11 years of persistent efforts that a group of English mountain climbers and three guides conquered the Matterhorn's dangerous summit. However, their victory was destined for tragedy, for as they started the even more dangerous descent, one of the climbers slipped on the icy rocks. He knocked the guide from his position, and this guide in turn dragged his companions with him because they were all tied together with a rope. And the four of them hung for a brief time, heads downward, suspended between heaven and earth. The rope snapped, and these four men were hurled 4,000 feet through the crisp, cold space to the rocky ice below. The other three looked on with awe, unbelief. They gazed into one another's faces, pale as death. And slowly, and even more cautiously, they continued and completed their descent. At the foot of the great Matterhorn, there now stands a large statue of a guide with his index finger pointing heavenward. And at the base of this statue, these words are recorded. Follow me. I've been there. I know the way.
John Philip, the other disciple, and he presents that challenge to us. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:24 records the words of Christ. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus says to us tonight, follow me. I've been there. I know the way. And Christ tells us in this portion of Scripture the price of Christian discipleship. And I would like to take this Scripture text and break it down into three main points. Christian discipleship involves denial of self, death of self, and determination of self. Christian discipleship is a call to salvation. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and inquired about spiritual life. Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He didn't hedge around. He didn't try to play with words. He said, you must be born again. He didn't try to convince him that Jewish ritual was wrong or not enough. He plainly said, you must be born again. And he says to every man today, you must be born again. You must be saved. And we too must come to a place where we are willing to deny ourselves sinful pleasures and renounce sin once and for all. We must tell God we're sick of sin, we're through with sin, and ask for his forgiveness. Many today, I'm afraid, are willing to tell God they're sorry for their sins. And yes, many confess and ask for forgiveness. But I believe there's another step according to Jesus. For Jesus said, but except ye repent, ye shall all perish. A dictionary definition of repent is to turn from sin. It's not enough to be sorry. We must repent. We must turn from our sin. We must deny ourselves any sinful pleasure. And the reason some can't make it is because they have never really turned their backs on sin and sinful pleasures. They have never really made a clean break with sin. For in reality, there's no such thing as, I can't make it. If you're serious enough about it, don't worry, you'll make it. And let me remind you, that there is no such thing in the Christian faith as a daily confessional. There's no such thing as coming to the end of each day and saying, God, forgive me for the sins of today, when in reality we're not turning our back on sin. God can help us to live a life above sinning when we really repent. It's great to know that the Bible tells us if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But oh, it's a far greater reality to know the fact that God can keep us above sinning with his strength. Denial means salvation. But denial of self also means accepting God's will for my life. The will of God is a path leading straight to God. And our own selfish will is directly contrary to it, a path leading away from God. And if we walk in one, we must naturally quit the other. We cannot walk in two ways at the same time. Every man must choose one way or the other, God's way or his own way. Let's zero in tonight and listen to this. If you are not walking in God's will tonight, you are purposefully walking away from God. There's no two ways about it. Walking away from God brings some pleasures, but it definitely brings death. To deny ourselves then is to deny our own will when it does not fall in line with the will of God. It's to refuse what we know to be deadly poison, even though the taste may be sweet. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." But he goes on to say, "and take up his cross." This, I believe, means death to self. Paul said in Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." The Apostle Paul again writes, Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Praise God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, that's what our pastor was talking about this morning. It's one thing to deny myself sin's pleasures, but it's another thing to die out to the selfishness of self, to give up all that I am, all that I have, all that I ever hope to be to God. In essence, to present my body a living sacrifice. One man put it this way, we must get down off the throne of our life and crawl up onto the old rugged cross so that Christ may come down off the cross and onto the throne of our life. Bonhoeffer wrote, "Discipleship means adherence to the person of Jesus, and therefore submission to the law of Christ, which is the law of the cross." Sanctification, a crisis experience, full and total surrender. And let me suggest and remind you that sanctification is not just a crisis experience, but it's a way of life. 1 John 1:7. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth," or in the Greek, "continues to cleanse us from all sin." Now don't get me wrong. This does not mean that we keep sinning and he keeps cleansing. That's not it at all. No. But we can know that our sins have been forgiven and put away from us forever, never to be remembered against us again. I like that. I like that. Let me make that personal. That means that all the sins of my past, and let me record that they've been forgiven by Jesus Christ. All the sins of my past, no matter what the future holds, they will never, ever be remembered against me again. Now that, my friend, is not a sinning religion. That's a way of life. But that war within must cease. The white flag of surrender must be raised. We must say, "I give up, Lord. I give up. I cannot do it on my own. And I really believe that it's the most natural thing in the world for a saved individual to be led into entire sanctification. But let me give a word of warning, a word of caution. When an individual continually rejects God's will of sanctification until at long last he feels deep conviction within, and he moves to the place of prayer, he needs to first be sure that he has not broken fellowship with God. He needs to know that all of his sins are still forgiven. I believe many people have frustrated themselves seeking sanctification when in reality they need to be saved. Since they had been saved, they had grieved the Spirit. They had broken fellowship with God. And I don't say this to shake your faith, but I've seen too many individuals arise from the altar victorious and then in the near future frustrated by feelings of rebellion within, feelings of hatred, feelings of anger. That's when they need to follow God's leading into the experience of entire sanctification. There needs to be death of self. John Wesley comments on this scripture. He claims that taking up our cross can also involve another area of consideration, and that is that in running the race that is set before us, in the providence of God, there is often a cross lying in the way. And he means by a cross something that is not only not joyous, but something that is actually grievous, something contrary to our will, something against our nature. Jesus said, "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is better for one of thy members to perish than for thy whole body to be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For again, it is better for one of thy members to perish than for thy whole body to be cast into hell." It might be that that cross lying in the way is the parting with a foolish desire or an inordinate affection. Perhaps it's a separation from an object or a habit. But Wesley claims this is definitely the taking up of our cross. Jesus said to the rich young man, "Go, sell that thou hast and give to the poor." And you know, the very thought of it gave him so much pain that he went away sorrowful. He went away choosing rather to part with his hope of heaven than his possessions on earth. This was a cross he would not take up. But let me say, the taking up of our cross is a little different from bearing our cross. Jesus said in Luke 14:27, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Let me try to explain the difference. We bear our cross when we endure what is laid upon us without our choice. We take up our cross when we voluntarily and momentarily suffer what is in our power to avoid. And when we willingly embrace the will of God, even though it's contrary to our own, this can be taking up our cross. And so it behooves every one of us as Christians to determine to bear our cross as well as take up our cross. Death to self. I think we need to understand the fact that when an individual is sanctified, they don't become someone else. They don't lose their personality. In reality, it's not even a death of self, but rather a death of the selfishness of self. And what an exciting reality. We can be a cleansed vessel. We can walk in the light. We can be sanctified holy. God wants to help us. He wants to strengthen us. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's interesting to note that follow here is in the present tense, denoting continuous action. Yes, there's denial of self and death of the selfishness of self, but here is where the continuous determination comes in. We follow Christ because we decide to. We follow Christ because we want to. And once we have been saved and sanctified, let me assure you, we're not put on heavenly roller skates to glide home free. No, we must determine each day that we will follow Christ. And I'm convinced that following Christ must be a discipline before it becomes a joy. We must determine within ourselves that come what may, I'm going to follow Christ to the best of my ability. And like I've said to many at this altar right here, we need to couple our human determination with God's divine assistance. And oh, that's an unbeatable combination. Our human determination and God's divine assistance. But remember, before we can truly follow Christ, we must deny ourselves and we must take up our cross. For those who feel this is too much to ask, Christ goes on and says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." I'm glad it doesn't end there. "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." That's what Hardy was singing about this morning. Let me lose my life and find it, Lord, in thee. May all self be slain. My friend, see only thee. Though it cost me grief and pain, I will find my life again. If I lose my life, I'll find it, Lord, in thee. What about you tonight? Have you really found what you're looking for? Have you found that pearl of great price? Have you allowed Christ to save you from your sins? Christian believer, have you allowed Christ to cleanse you from the inbred sin? Are you walking in all the light that he sheds in your pathway tonight? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Too many people today, too many teens, too many older adults, growing up in the church, are selling their souls cheap, listening to Satan's lies, allowing themselves to lead a defeated Christian life. All the while, Jesus says, "Follow me. I've been there. I know the way." I want us in a moment to sing hymn number 332, a song of commitment, a song of dedication. We're going to have a word of prayer before we sing. And let me assure you right now, we're going to open the altar, not so that you can come and join the church or spill out everything you've ever done to someone here praying with you, no. A convenient place to meet with God. In the fellowship of believers, where friends can come and support you in prayer. And if you do not know that he saves you tonight, Christian believer, that he sanctifies you wholly, if you need to move up closer, we're going to invite you to come and kneel at this altar and meet with God and allow him to meet with you. Let's stand for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We believe your word is true. We believe that your word on the wings of your Spirit have penetrated to the hearts of men, indicating needs, pointing out problems. You are the solution tonight. May there be openness. May there be honesty tonight as we share this time together. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.